Do you know the reason why millennials and Gen Z don't answer the door anymore? Because we learned from the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s that you don't fucking open your door or you'll get murked.
Honestly, there was this one time on my old apartment that it happened like twice that a random person knocked on my door. And like, I never looked to see who it was because I was like, I'm not going anywhere near the door right now. But it was like, it's so fucking creepy.
The other thing is the fact that we have to have like the sliding door rod or like the doorknob rod.
Yeah, I have the doorknob rod.
Like, ugh. Why do we have to do that? Like, why can't people just not hurt other people?
That's also why I refuse to sleep with the window open.
Fresh air is for dead people.
That's what they say on Morbid.
Yeah.
I
the only time I sleep with the window open is like if it's like stiflingly hot and I literally can't stand it and Sean is in bed with me and I know for a fact that everywhere else is locked and also we're on the second floor, so like
unless I would you're sleep adept with the window parkour, open if Andrew was here if yeah. we like really needed it, but I will never do it when I'm by myself. I said that to my friend once and I was like, I refuse to sleep with the window open because I don't want to get murdered. And he was like, don't you live on the second floor? And I was like, ladders exist.
You think that stops them? You're funny.
I was like, does that matter? No.
I also have a balcony. Stop. So it's like, if somebody like got a ladder up to my balcony, they'd have a place to literally just like chill. Did I tell you guys about how after I moved in, I realized all of my windows were unlocked?
No.
It took me actually months to realize that all of my windows were unlocked. I just thought that they were locked. I never checked them. And then I went to open them for the first time and they were like, they were unlocked. And I was like, oh my God, they're all locked now.
You're like, great. I could have died.
Every single one of my windows was unlocked. Every single one. And I was like, what the fuck?
That's so scary.
But they're locked now.
That's good. I mean, the other thing too is it's like you just see so many women are like, okay, well, if you want to be safe, if you're traveling, if you're traveling and you're in a hotel by yourself, block the peephole and double check the locks work and look for the mirrors and look for the hidey holes and look for the tunnels because all this shit happens. And if you're at home and you're home alone or your husband or your partner is traveling, put men's shoes outside so it looks like they're home. And it's like, why do we have to do that?
Yes, we shouldn't have to think about that.
Exactly. And then I saw TikTok where it was like, well, why do men hate gay people? Like gay men? Because they hate femininity. It's just, it all stems back to hating women. And that's never gone away. It has never changed. People always will hate women. So...
I love that for us. Although people won't always hate women if we go with the Mojo Dojo Casa House route.
Just saying.
I'm on board for the Mojo Dojo Casa House.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was talking to my friend today. Her fiance is on his bachelor trip right now, and they are in Portland, Maine. And she was like, she sends me a video of one of his friends like crawling out of this, I'll show you, this like really tiny little door in their Airbnb. And I just need to show you so you can kind of like get the full effect. You see this?
I feel like we all need like Allens. If the world was just made up of Allens, I think we'd be fine.
Okay. Now, can you see?
Yeah.
Look at this tiny little door. And his friend is literally just in there.
Can he like, it would be really funny if he like hopped out like Gollum and was like, my vision.
And watch him just like come out this door. It's fucking insane. God. Like, look how small that little door is compared to him.
That's wild.
And he's like covered in dust and shit. And I told my friend, I was like, why was he in there? And she was like, I forgot to mention that they were playing hide and seek. And I was like, I'm sorry.
That's horrifying.
Of grown ass men in their Airbnb. Like,
listen, I feel like that's pretty innocent. Like, that's kind of adorable. I'm not going to lie.
And she was like, can you imagine like women playing hide and seek? And I was like, no. That's like a man thing to do.
That's a nightmare for us. Are you kidding?
Well, okay. Listen, so
I would be nervous that they would forget that I was hiding because they forgot about me.
I wouldn't go in there in the first place, but I have two things. One, my cousins and I, when we were younger, when we were at my Grammy and Papa's house, which they is no longer in our family, like they sold it and whatever, but you know how some houses have like the laundry chute. So on the upstairs, in the upstairs guest bathroom, you open up the closet. It's kind of like a weird little corner closet, like angled, whatever. But there was the laundry chute entrance, right? And this thing was probably a foot in diameter. And then it would, you know, it would go down to the laundry room. The laundry room, it had like, so the washer and dryer, and then there was overhanging cabinets, and it opened up to one of the cabinets. And when we played hide and seek, my cousins would go into the laundry chute to hide. And it was actually really clever. We all did gymnastics and stuff. So we were like limber and stuff, no longer, however, but, limber. So when, you know, somebody, whoever was seeking, was upstairs looking in like the closet upstairs, like the linen closet in the bathroom, they would duck down and hide in the cabinet. And then when they went into the cabinet to look, they would pull themselves up into the the closet upstairs. But they would just chill out in the laundry chute.
I would be so claustrophobic.
Yeah, I never did it because I was
as an adult, probably. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't have cared as a kid.
One of my thighs wouldn't fit in now, but you know. And the other thing is, have you seen, I think it's Black Curvy Witch on TikTok, but she's famous now for saying, put it back. Like it's all white people and they're pulling shit out of like curses and whatever. And she's like, put it back. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. Thank you. But that little hidey hole made me think of that. Like, you definitely would find something in there. And she'd be like, put it back. G'day, I'm Kat.
I'm not doing another accent. I'm sorry.
Do whatever you want. I'm channeling my inner Bluey. So
we love Bluey.
We do.
We do love Bluey.
Did you watch the new episode? Like the long one?
Is that the one
called The Sign?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I had Paisley and Corinne over and Paisley wouldn't want to watch it.
Oh my God. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I'm Aileen.
I'm Rachel.
And this is Meta.
Mystery.
Mac and cheese.
I really went all in with the Australian thing. Huh. Cute intro.
Yeah, couldn't be me.
Where that came from, but I'm not usually that good at Australian, so whatever.
I think we would regret not talking at all about Taylor Swift.
Yes.
See, I'm not as big as a Swiftie as you guys are. I like her, I enjoy her, but I don't
have you listened to any of her new album?
Some of them.
I'm obsessed. A lot of people actually are saying that it sounds like she wrote songs for the characters of Harry Potter. And I don't think that they're based on Harry Potter, but I could see where they would think that.
It's all so well written. Like, mm-hmm. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart is such a fucking bop.
I know. And then the words are like soul damaging.
Yep.
But the beat is just like,
I'm so depressed, I act like it's my birthday. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, my new motto is, I cry a lot, but I'm so productive.
It's an art. I'm like, that's me.
It's so crazy because there's so many songs on this album that I, like, am day by day as I continue to listening to it, I, like, I'm learning more of them. And I'm, like, really hearing more of them. And I feel like I hyperfixate on a different song every day. Like, today, I don't know how much you've listened to Peter, but the bridge of Peter is fucking insane.
Yes.
Wait, I'm gonna read you the lyrics because it actually is like heart-wrenching. Hold on.
Catherine, we need to convert you to the Swiftieism.
See, I like her. I do. There are moments where I'm like, oh yeah, I wanna listen to Taylor Swift today, but she's not my first choice. And it's, you know, no negative feelings, no bad feelings about anyone who, like you guys and anyone who is obsessed with her. I just didn't jump on that train, and I don't know why.
Everybody's different. It's okay. The thing is like, I have respect for people that don't like her as like just a taste thing. But it's the people that don't like her, just hate her, that piss me off.
Because it's a cool thing, bro.
Or spew things that they see on the media, and I'm like, that's not even true.
Okay.
Yeah, just I'm very neutral. I'm like, don't dislike her.
This bridge will convert you. Like, just kidding.
Probably not.
Okay. So the whole point of the song is it's like the chorus says, like, you said you were going to grow up and then you were going to come find me. It's like a Peter Pan reference kind of. So this is the bridge. And I won't confess that I waited, but I let the lamp burn. As the men masqueraded, I hoped you'd return. With your feet on the ground, tell me all that you'd learn. Because love's never lost when perspective is earned. And you said that you'd come and get me, but you were 25. And the shelf life of those fantasies has expired. Lost to the Lost Boys chapter of your life. Forgive me, Peter. Please know that I tried to hold on to the days when you were mine. But the woman who sits by the window has turned out the light.
That's very poetic. Poetry.
It's
so many of
I literally like heard it for the first time today and I was like, holy shit.
I think part of the reason is I just didn't relate to like any of like the heartbreak and like that kind of stuff. Like I just didn't
feel the connection to it. High school sweetheart.
Stupid in love.
We get it.
I kind of fell more down to my emo punk phase. So I'm kind of more on that vein of music. Or alternatively, straight up just Broadway. Like there's no in between.
I love Broadway.
That's fair. Aileen and I are in the trenches with our heartbreak.
I know.
The fact that we both had ex-boyfriends that broke up with us right around finals is crazy.
That was wild.
Wild.
That was a wild time. I went through a whole journey with you guys. And I think I was I think I was still in London too when I went through that with you.
That was so crazy because I was like, I just was thinking about it. I was like, oh my God, like the fact that I had to fucking take all these finals when I couldn't eat and I couldn't sleep is crazy. And then you were like, no, that happened to me too. And I was like, no fucking way.
I know. I was like,
There's more than one psycho out there.
In conclusion, men ain't shit for legal reasons. That is a joke.
Mojo Dojo Casa House.
Mojo Dojo Casa House. Don't test me.
Legal reasons.
For legal reasons. That is a joke.
Well, is it though? Just kidding. Cut that out.
For legal reasons, that is also a joke.
Thank you.
Anyway, it's Rachel's first story time today.
It sure is. And it's so exciting. It's in a series that we're all working on. It's just her own
I'm really excited to see what you picked.
Me too.
Thank you. I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. You'll be fine.
I saw just a little bit of this case actually on TikTok and I was like, oh, I need to learn more about that. So, this is about Anna Bachmeier and her mother, Marianne Bachmeier, and it's set in Germany.
I have not heard of this.
Good. That's good. Well done. I'm excited now.
So far, good first story.
I mean, it's a tragedy, but...
Well, yeah,
it's a wild ride.
It's interesting. Aileen and I are very true crime coded, so, you know... To find a case that we haven't heard of before, it's pretty good.
Thank you. I had it in my notes app for a while.
Fair.
And I wondered, because you were like, we're going to do a story. And I'm like, all right, it's time.
Let's go time.
I love it. Lay it on us, right, Rachel.
Anna Bachmeier was born November 14th of 1972 to Marianne Bachmeier. And Marianne raised her alone when she was just 23. So Anna was also Marianne's third child, but she had given the other two up for adoption because she had them when she was 16 and 18. She's been through a lot. So she decided to keep Anna because she felt like she was in a place where she could take care of her now. But it was just Marianne and Anna. So Marianne took Anna to the bar that she worked at, the pub, and Anna would sleep while Marianne was working. or while she stayed after to drink with her friends. I know. Right.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. The friends of Marianne said that she realized her lifestyle was problematic for Anna and had considered also putting Anna up for adoption. And Anna was about 6 at this time.
Ugh.
But she treated Anna more like an adult than she did a child. So on May 5th of 1980, Anna would have been 7. She had a fight with her mother, and she decided to skip school that morning. So she went to a friend's house, but that friend had gone to school. So at as 7? She was leaving.
Yeah. That's wild.
At seven. I know. I'm like, she would have been first grade. Wild. As she was leaving, she ran into her neighbor, Klaus Grabowski, and he was a butcher in town that had cats at his house. And she had gone to his house previously to pet and play with his cats.
I am not enjoying where this story is going.
Don't do it, girl.
I know.
No.
I know. Marianne was gone all afternoon because she was doing this photo shoot with a magazine over her Volkswagen because it was like painted as a mural with a bunch of different paintings on it. So they did like a fluff piece on it. So she was at a photo shoot until late afternoon. And when she came home, Anna was still not home. She went out looking for her, but she waited until nightfall to go to the police station and report her missing. So on May 5th, Klaus had abducted Anna and held her at his house for several hours. He assaulted her and strangled her with a pair of his fiance's tights.
What a goddamn scumbag.
I know.
What in the fuck? He then
tied her up, hog style.
Oh, God.
And packed her into a box.
No, thank you.
And buried her in a shallow grave at the edge of a canal.
Like, you couldn't even let her rest comfortably in death. Like, you had to do that. Can I punch him in the dick?
That's so disgusting.
It's hard to even talk about it, but it's important to note that Klaus was a convicted sex offender. He had been previously sentenced for abusing 2 young girls. And he was sentenced to a psychology treatment facility for that. And
you
even
can't be fixed before that.
I know. God. And even before that, he had another victim, a 6-year-old girl, who managed to escape. So he was only charged for attempted murder and given probation.
Probation for attempted murder?
Out of
the
me.
Fuck? What you
know?
This?
Like you know he's a danger to society. Like, and yet
1970.
You're gonna do that?
That's
like, fucking
you're
gonna do
dumb.
That. He's
so
gonna
after,
ramp it up.
So after the 2 girls, in 1976, he voluntarily submitted to get a chemical castration.
Good, bitch.
Which, if you don't know what that is, it's where they use drugs to stop, like, testosterone and other hormones and lower your libido, but it's not really effective. Side note. So he did that voluntarily. And then 2
That's
years
why physical
later,
castration is the best option. Thank you so much.
Agreed. That's why when you brought it up, I was like, side eye.
It connects.
Yeah. But then 2 years later, Klaus underwent a hormone treatment and basically reversed the castration.
The fuck? No. You motherfucker. How is that allowed?
See,
this is why it makes me happy when, like, child predators and, like, child molesters get, like, violently attacked and murdered in prison because they deserve it. Like, there literally is no therapy and there's no way to fix that kind of attraction. Like, there's nothing you can do except put them in prison and wait for the system to take care of it.
So like, was
I don't know how you guys do this because I'm like literally shaking talking about this
with rage because yeah
the chemical castration kinda... was that like a punishment or he just like did it for fun
he so He basically did it because they offered him two options. He could stay in the psychology treatment facility longer, or he could get early release.
And get chemically castrated. Gotcha. Okay. So it really shouldn't be allowed for him to undo it. Like, there should be records of, like, that he did this in exchange for something.
Agreed. So then back to present day. Klaus was arrested for Anna's murder because his fiance turned him in.
Good for
her.
She
had returned home.
Yes.
The afternoon, and he had confessed what he did, and she ran straight to the police station.
Guilty, were you? Got a guilty conscience there, bitch boy?
When the police and Anna showed up at the apartment where Klaus lived, he was gone, but he had left a note to his fiance saying, like, I love you, let's work through this, I will be at my favorite, like, drinking spot. He said, my favorite watering hole, you know, the times. And so she knew exactly where that was. So the police went and they staked it out and waited until he showed up and arrested him on the spot.
Good.
Yes. At this point in time, like, Marianne still does not know what happened to her daughter.
Oof.
So after they arrested him, they didn't tell her. No.
That's terrible.
They didn't tell her until they went to go get her body.
Oh great, that's awesome.
Awful,
isn't it? So when he was arrested, he tried saying that Anna wanted to extort him for money and threatened to tell her mother that he had molested her, but he did not.
Hi, I have a TED talk here. She was 7.
Yeah,
I don't think a 7-year-old knows what fucking extortion is.
What extortion is.
I know. Yeah. He maintained it till the end.
Ooh, bitch.
But he basically said that he killed her because he was afraid to go back to prison.
Oh my God. Wow.
So he admitted to killing her, but not anything else. I know. Oh, we're going to skip now.
Somehow butthead is more effective of an insult than a lot of things. I'm going to be honest with you.
When you take,
I'm a fan of butthole as well.
Just like
same, or douche canoe.
I like that one.
Yeah. So Marianne actually did not find out what happened to her daughter until the next day on May 6th when they uncovered her body.
I beg your finest pardon.
It's terrible.
I know.
She should be the first person notified.
I know. So he was arrested. He went to court. On the first day of his court trial, so this would have been about March 4th, he described how he had killed her, but claimed that he did not molest her. And I have a quote of what he said. I gotta look it up. He said, I heard something come out of her nose. She was sitting on a chair. I approached her from behind. I was fixated. Then I could not stand the sight of her body any longer.
It's so fucking gross.
Bitch boy.
On the second
absolute buffoonery
of the trial, they brought in the urologist, Dr. Volker, who completed his hormone treatment therapy. To testify that he underwent this reversal. And he had testified that Klaus Grabowski said he went through the chemical castration because he was an exhibitionist. And the doctor did not bother to follow up on this information. So later, Marianne and Anna's father, Christian, sued Dr. Volker for negligence.
Hell yeah. Get it.
I know.
Get Marianne, that bag. Get that
bag. I was going to say, you're just taking this guy's word for it that got chemically castrated. You have to.
So, like, there's a reason. When will we learn? When will police learn that you can't take the word of a convicted? Anything past, like, petty theft.
Yeah.
You know, anything that's, like, a felony and beyond and or harms another person. Don't take their word for it. You know? Like, just don't.
So, on this day, the second, they also described how Anna's body was found. And people were shocked at hearing that she was hogtied, it was obvious that he had taken her time, taken his time with her.
That's so terrible.
That, like, says a lot about his psychology, too, because if he felt any remorse for it, he would have, like, covered her face or covered her body or done something in the way that would, like, say, like, he was horrified by it, or he didn't want to see her face and, like, kept it distant from her. Like, that clearly he's just like, that's a big fuck you and this is what I like to do kind of thing. Like, he clearly psychologically didn't feel any sort of remorse, if he felt any emotions at all, to be honest.
I am surprised with him being a butcher that this is the state we found her body in, though.
That's true. Good point.
I am surprised by that. He also shared a statement on this day in which he shamed Anna and said that she was extorting him for money. She didn't go to school. He shamed Marianne as well for her lifestyle.
And what that Anna a goddamn
was basically raised on the streets, is what they said.
What a goddamn audacity. Where did he find it? Like, dear, clearly not his dick, because clearly. Why do men? Mojo Dojo Casa House. Sounding more enticing by the moment. Thank you.
On the third day of his trial, and the final day was March 6, 1981, around 10 a.m., Grabowski was shot 6 times in the back. Marianne Bachmeier had smuggled in a Beretta 70 into the Lubeck District Courtroom 157.
Oh my God, queen!
And killed the man who sexually assaulted and murdered her daughter. She then lowered her gun to the ground and was arrested willingly.
What a queen.
If I was a police officer, I'd be like, sorry, Your Honor, I saw nothing. I don't know how that happened.
While she is in jail, she received a lot of support, but also a lot of criticism. As did the West German judge who enabled Klaus, who had also sexually assaulted the two girls previously, to use the hormones to regain his libido. Marianne sold her life story to Stern News magazine while she was in jail to pay for her court fees. And on November 2nd of 1982, she was charged for murder, which was later dropped.
Yes.
4 months after the initial charge of murder, and after 28 days of negotiations, the board agreed on her verdict of manslaughter.
Okay.
So right. March 2nd,
we'll take it.
1983, she was convicted for manslaughter and unlawful possession of a firearm.
Okay. Fair enough.
Her defense had claimed that the murder was not premeditated, and she was sentenced to 6 years, but only served 3.
Okay. That's fair.
So not after fair, this, but she got married, got divorced, moved, had a whole life, right? But later
that's
in life,
you, girl.
She was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she decided in 1994 to give an interview to the, excuse my pronunciation.
If you spell it, I could probably pronounce it for you. I took German in high school.
Deutschland Funk radio station.
Yeah, Deutschland.
Released an
yeah.
autobiography and appeared on a talk show where she admitted planning and consideration that she took in killing Grabowski. She even went as far to practice her shot in the basement of the pub where she worked. And she never reported feeling remorse for the kill.
I wouldn't either.
She Fair died enough, on September 17th of 1995 at 46 from her cancer and is buried next to Anna.
Oh, they're reunited.
That's so sad. Honestly.
Son of a bitch. Glad he died.
Like,
glad
really
she shot
appreciate
him.
Her just being like, no, fuck this guy.
Honestly,
I don't care
though.
If I go to jail. Like, you murdered my daughter yeah. and are trying to say that she fucking extorted you at 7 years old. Bam.
Exactly.
I know.
Like,
she said,
again,
she wanted to make sure justice was served.
You know what? You go, girl. Literally, if I
was
like that judge or those lawyers or those police, I'd be like,
I just said it was his final day of court.
Oh, so it wasn't even over.
I don't know. It was just the final day.
She was like, I'm not even gonna like give them a chance to say not guilty. Just he's done.
Bang.
Yeah, but it was around 10 a.m. It was like right as it started. He came in. Marianne walked in with her friends and like noted that the courtroom was kind of empty. And her friends were like, let's wait outside for a couple minutes more. So she turned to leave with them and then turned around and shot 7 rounds, but 6 of them hit him.
I support women's rights, but I also support women's wrongs. You know,
like that's the thing that's so tough is it's so hard to put yourself in that like headspace, like what you would do in that situation. Like,
yeah,
killing somebody objectively is wrong, but
there's a gray area. He
also murdered her 7-year-old daughter.
There are genuinely some people that should not be alive. For certain reasons. If anybody ever did anything to my son, and if it was ever in that vein of as horrible as that, you bet your sweet ass I'd be in prison. Like, I don't care. You hurt my child in that way and you do that shit to him, you're done. You're done. You've lost all rights to your life. Okay? Fuck off. Do you see those TikToks, Rachel, especially because we're both on like baby talk? Those like interviews of like those moms where they're like, oh, would you kill for your child? And some of them were like, no. And there's moms who are like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Because I would kill for my child and I would kill for your child. I'm going to be honest. Like, nah. Absolutely.
This is
not.
The village.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my heart hurt researching
that's
case, tough. But I also felt.
It needed to be told because clearly people don't know the story very well. Yeah. Well, Marianne, girl did what she needed to do. And
that's,
you know what?
Vigilante
I appreciate
shit.
That. That's some vigilante shit. Yeah, absolutely.
Love the Taylor Swift.
Thank you. I did it on purpose.
I don't get mad.
I got it too. I really like that song too. So I got your joke. I can be part of this.
I don't dress for friends. I've been dressing for revenge. That's what Marianne.
In my opinion, with her, what is it?
I'm more surprised how she got a gun in the courtroom.
I want to say Bugatti, and I'm like, that's not Bugatti.
Well, it was the 80s.
True.
It was the 80s.
In my
they
personal
didn't have
opinion,
any like security checks then.
In my personal opinion, though, I'll be honest. Anybody who has ever put on the sex offender registry deserves to be castrated. Well, I guess depending on what they did. So if it was heavy R of anybody, any grown person, immediate castration. If you're touching a child, immediate castration. Like, no chances. You're done. Like, we know that that can't be fixed. And we know that if given the chance, they will reoffend again or ramp it up. So you're done. Like,
didn't they do like studies and their brain chemistry is different?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's something wrong in there.
Fundamentally wrong with them. Yeah.
Do you guys ever look up the sex offender registry in your area?
Yep.
Yeah.
I used to do that. I haven't done it since I moved here, but I used to check it every time it would come out. And when I lived in Milford and, there was somebody that was registered that literally lived right around the corner from me. And I was like, I don't love that.
There's only a couple in our town, actually. And I can't remember what it was. One of them was like lewd acts or something like that. Not lewd acts. It was something that didn't involve like another person. But then there was another one that was like something under the age of 14. I was like, ooh, okay. So we're not going over there.
We've got quite a few.
That's
there's only one in the area, though. It's like a block away, which is surprising because I live right next to a school.
Oh, that's not great.
Not great, no.
Why do men? That's the question.
I don't know why men.
Oh, it's a baby. Hi, baby girl.
Baby.
You happy with your little onion sprout and your pacifier?
Interesting case to share while my in-laws were here, but
yeah. That's a fun phase to be in when all your shit gets tossed everywhere.
Yeah, she got into the tissue box a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Alrighty.
Follow us on Instagram at Murder Mystery Mac and Cheese.
And email us at mncpod@gmail.com for any sorts of things, questions, concerns, etc. I don't really want to say the whole thing all over again.
We'll see you next time.
Stay cheesy, guys and ghouls. And don't be a little bitch boy. Thank you.
Preach.